And good morning, Bay Harbor family. Welcome to Monday Morning Recap with Pastors. We're going to get that thing right one day. Anyway, good morning. We are glad you are with us on this. It's a beautiful day. Yesterday was rainy and nasty. It cleared up yesterday afternoon. Got me a little run in. But this morning, I'm looking out the door, and it is sun and shining. We've got people in line getting food. And on that note, Pastor, we got plenty of food out there. Come and get some food if you need it.
We do. It is second heart. You know, we are so blessed. We say that all the time. But we were anticipating today. We had a lot of our regular workers that are out for various reasons. But I'm telling you, God has just sent in a whole new crew. And so it is wonderful to see that. But also to be able to help people in the community. Yeah. And so that's what's happening right now as we speak. There are cars that are in line coming. So if that's you, you need food today, come out. We'll be doing it for another 2 hours if you're watching us live from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock today. So we'd love for you to come out and allow us to help you with that. Or if you know someone, send a message to them. Let them know that Bay Harbor's getting. I know what's happening in the community is there's more people that are being involved in this ministry, and because of the times we're living in, and so that's wonderful. But there is no line right now for you to have to wait. You can come right in and get what you need and move on down the road.
Absolutely. And also take a minute and share this live stream. Get it plastered. Facebook, hit the share button. YouTube, you're going to have to call somebody. But be sure you are letting us know where you're watching from, and be sure that you are commenting with us. We don't want to have a conversation. We can turn the thing off and conversate with ourselves. We want to talk to you today. So talk to us. Who we got watching?
Please join the conversation. We got Tara Bess on right now.
Hey, Tara, how are you?
Johnny Williamson, he's on. And, of course, Ms. Joanne and Ms. Joyce Smith. Joanne Smith and Joyce Thrift. And there's a couple of other people I can't see, but we're glad that you're on. So, again, uplifting comments, prayer requests, whatever it may be as it pertains to yesterday's sermon, maybe we can learn something from you.
Oh, no question we can do that. That's what often happens, and that's why iron sharpens iron, and so one friend sharpens another. So we like that. We appreciate that. A lot of wonderful things coming on. I know that when y'all see Pastor Bobby doing the pre and the mid service, that he takes advantage, the full advantage of being able to promote the student ministries.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, that's very wise. That's part of his ministry description. And so, but talking about youth camps that's coming up, we've got Winterfest that's coming up. Yep. All kind of activities. We're still working on JC games and seeing what the Lord wants to do with that. But even this week, if you will, make sure that you join us on Wednesday night. Wednesday night we'll be continuing our third week of the Bible study on Philippians, enjoying that between myself and Spence. And then Thursday night, what's going on Thursday night, Pastor Jermaine?
Unscripted.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. That's the good thing about it. This service here, it is... come and just jump in the river and be blessed. What comes out of this, what God wants to do in the midst of the service, we don't know, but we know it's going to be good. We'll leave better than we actually came.
You know, Kathy always does a great job on graphics when she does them, but that is a cool-looking graphic.
It is a cool
looking. It does look really cool.
Even better being up there. Yeah. I let her know it looked even better being up on these big screens.
That's cool. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. In person only. So that will not be broadcast online. That is an opportunity for us. I don't even know if we're going to have words for songs, if we sing songs or that. You know, we'll come in just ready for whatever the Lord wants. And of course, we have some things that we'll be prepared for. We just don't know how everything's going to come out. Yeah. And so
I think the focus that people need to come in is just come in and get what you need from God. Some things you may not even know what it is that you need, but being in the house. And fortunate enough, I believe that, of course, there'll definitely be a lot of space for us to kind of be able to worship and posture yourselves and be able to receive. That's the biggest thing. Come in expecting, and to expect what? I can't tell you what to expect. But I can tell you that you can come in or you can receive.
It is. And that's gonna scratch an itch since the students have taken over our Wednesday night area. That'll scratch an itch Thursday night. So make sure that you join us for that if you're able to.
Yeah, absolutely. And also Friday night, we've got if you're a parent with a child, and that Hillary and them have said, okay, let me get this right. Coastal Cancer Crushers are doing a fundraiser for the Leukemia Foundation, and they're also pouring some into the youth ministry, which is awesome. Thank you for doing that. But what it is, it's a parents' night out. So if you have a kid pre-K age and above, they said above, so I may bring my 11th grader. Well, he'll be here working probably, but bring them on. I think it's $30 for the first kid, $10 for each additional. It's not bad. They're going to have pizza, games, fun. That's Friday night starting at 5:30.
Kind of a dual purpose there.
Yeah.
Of us, again, it's another outreach that we want to be part of.
Yep.
But on the flip side of that, it's a way of blessing our families and giving them a good time. Yes. They probably will need the time if they go to a local restaurant, because there's if they can find one that's open and all of that. So with that, let's get into
this
thing.
Let's get on it. Okay. So yesterday we started a new series entitled The God Who Is. And I was excited about it going into it, and it didn't let us down a bit. God spoke through you, Pastor, in another great sermon, and I'm looking forward. I'm already looking forward for next week. So what's the next one? I'm just kidding. Hey, but the God Who Is transcendent was the title of yesterday, yeah. And God's transcendency.
It is a lot to say, but it's even more of a concept for us to get.
Yes.
And the transcendency of God is really just a description that God is above all of the created order in all aspects. So therefore, he is superior to his creation, if you will. And so that's the concept of yesterday's message. So that's where we were heading with it.
I look at it from being not only just above, but being beyond, in a sense, a few steps ahead of us. The scripture that says, you know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And, you know, he's always ahead of us. What we're thinking right now, that's old news to him. And the fact that, you know, in the midst of all of this that we have going, especially nowadays, that there's an answer to everything that we need. And God in himself, being able to look down and be able to see his own creation, and he creates the answers, and he is the answer to it. So
the other thing I could add to that, Pastor Jermaine, is not just being above as in yesterday, what we're facing is yesterday's news. God has the ability to be in the past and in the future while being with us in the present.
Same time.
And so I know this is a theological discussion, but all of our theology relates to our life. Mm-hmm. How we act really is in reaction to what we believe. And so that's why theology is so important for us, and especially in the times. You know, kind of started out on a negative note with that, talking about the days of Noah. And I believe that according to Jesus and his word in Matthew 24:37 and other gospels as well, that when the Son of Man comes, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. And so we're living in those days right now.
Yeah, that we could stay there and go on for hours about it. The world is a corrupt world in a lot of ways. I still hold true to the notion that there are a lot of good people in this world, and I think the majority of people are good people in this world. However, there is a lot going on, and a lot of evil, and even things that we may not think is evil sometimes, that we put ourselves into sometimes as good people. It can be tough.
But it's hard to have a conversation about God being above all without really understanding what that means for us. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we went down the trail of the times that we're living in. And then we were joking around earlier about the idea of getting into a restaurant. But as we said yesterday, as believers in Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility. And here's my concern. You know, throughout scripture, you know, one of the verses is some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. What it was they were trusting in the government. They were trusting in their military power. They were trusting in their ability, but not trusting in God. And so whenever things begin to go awry, then what are we going to turn to? And so even right now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've been blessed, you know, you've got, I'm not going to do the math on this, but you've got 5 kids and yourself in a house, and there's 6 of you, and then you get $1,400 times 6, then there's the temptation, well, you know, I'm good right now. But if you're trusting in that, then what's going to happen when that runs out? The source of God will never run out. He'll never run out. And so he is the one that we look to, and to understand that he's bigger than the government. He's bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any of that is essential for us.
And like you, the scripture, the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. I mean, I've heard people talk about literally he got his feet. No, that's not necessarily literal, but it's the aspect that he created this thing. And I loved the house yesterday when you pulled the chair out. The creator of that is not going to sit in that chair. And just like with God. He's so much bigger than, to know that his magnitude is so large that he could literally use the earth as a footstool. Yeah. It's incredible to me.
Anthropomorphic is us giving.
Say that word again.
Anthropomorphic.
Okay.
Anthropomorphic is when we give human-like characteristics to inanimate objects.
Okay.
And so even though God is spirit, is what we ended up talking about in John 4, God is spirit. He's not confined to this skin. He's not confined to all of this. He transcends it. He's bigger than it. And that's important. I tried to put that in a earthly terminology. And it wasn't until I left yesterday and was beginning to think about it that it really hit. The original, what that word transcendent really means is to surpass, to move beyond. And the only thing that I could come to is that my wife's beauty transcends mine. She far surpasses me in beauty. And so that's why often that's not a word that we use oftentimes to talk about human beings. God certainly more than surpasses us in everything.
And not understand the misunderstanding, not getting that how God is, he's above and beyond. What are you laughing at? He is so much bigger than all we can see. We'll miss out on what he can do for us. Mm. And that was one of your points in the sermon yesterday. That's what's so important about this message is we've got to know who he is.
We do. Go ahead, Jermaine.
I was going to say, it's just our view of him. You know, you can get so fixated and, you know, and a lot of accidents in life happen with people trying to drive looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking ahead of them. You know, you can miss out on everything that's in front of you. They say missing out on the forest for the trees. Us having the idea that God's floor is our ceiling at best. If we miss out on that, there's no way that we're going to be able to believe that nothing's impossible with God. You know, and as supernatural as that seems, it's still elementary to God. That's like the entry thing to being able to understand anything about God, realizing that, you know what, he's so much bigger than every situation that I got going on right now. To where if I stay fixated on the things that I'm going through and that the things that I'm looking at, I'm going to miss out what all the different things that God has for me to get, even in what seems like bad times.
Well, even our perspective of God in those situations, sometimes it's our thinking that gets in the way and causes us to miss out. That's why we have to go back to the Word of God. That's why we have to go back to what is essential. You know, I made the comment, and it's really been hitting me hard lately, is that an early church or a first century believer, right after Jesus came, there was, and I don't know when it began to shift. I have my personal thoughts that probably during the Reformation, it began to shift a little bit to individualism. But before that, there was no Christian without church. We had to be part of the community of faith. And that's the way that God has really designed us as believers in Jesus Christ. And so even our concept of church relates to our concept of him. So all of this is related. And if we're not careful, and if we have a misunderstanding, it will cause us to miss out on what it is that he wants to, who he wants to be, not just what he wants to do, but who he wants to be in our lives. And so the example that we gave yesterday was that woman at the well in John chapter 4.
And Jesus, you point out, Jesus said he had to go that way.
Yeah.
But did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Because here it is. The tradition, we didn't get into all that because a lot of our viewers
went around it, right?
They went 2 days out of their way to get around them because they didn't like those people. And so they considered them dogs. Because of some of the decisions that they had made in their past. And so Jews would literally, a lot of them would just go around. Now, it's interesting that on the end of that story, that when that woman went to the village came out to talk to Jesus, and they begged him. They said, would you stay with us? And the scripture says that Jesus stayed 2 days. So him going through that shortcut, he ended up where he would have been at the time that he would have been. But because he went straight to him, he still spent 2 days, and he was with them the whole time. And so, it speaks to the power of God with all of that. But she was, when she first had an encounter with Jesus, she was running the risk of misunderstanding that was going to cause her to miss out. If she would have stopped at him being just somebody who understood where she was, she would have missed out on the fullness of who God was.
Well, she would have missed out. And then I think the whole idea of her being just a great, you want to say a preacher, even at that time, you know, the whole thing of coming, seeing a man, it was revealed to her who he was. And she was further, she was able to spread that. And I think a lot of times we stop at the point of realizing that, you know, or at least not realizing that, you know, your experience of God and how you actually relate or how God is being revealed to you, it's not just for you, it's for others. So you have to figure out, I want to say figure out, you gotta determine that you gotta see God for who he is and stop what you say, put on the, not the carnal mind, you know, but you have to have the spiritual mind when approaching anything as it comes to God.
And also, Pastor, Jermaine, taking what God tells you. I mean, my husband, no, I ain't got a husband. I know you don't. You got a bunch of them that you don't have no more, and you live with one ain't your husband. Sometimes you can get, she could have got all hurt in her rear end and took off somewhere and said, forget this man. You don't know me. She could have had all different reactions to that, but she didn't. And through that, so we got to watch ourselves sometimes when God will reveal something in our own lives to us that we really already know, and we hear it from God or somebody else. Yeah, you follow me? You with me?
I do, yeah.
And we got to be careful because God is trying to show who he is through those situations at times. Mm.
Again, she didn't stop at that. And I think that for some, even for believers, we've had an encounter with Jesus. But do we really know who he is?
Yeah.
You know, we see him as someone who has even saved our sins. But do we really know that he is God? And with that, to understand that he is God, that's what brings all of this together, and that's really where the dollhouse come in. You know, think about that the creator of all of this came into his creation as a created being in order to save us, speaks to the love of God through Jesus. You know, even Jesus coming down to earth, he didn't have to come the way that he did. He could have come as an angel. He could have come as any other thing or being that he wanted to, but he came into creation as a created being in order to save us.
It just comes, we got to give him a chance. Just like all of us, we like to be understood and hate it when we're misunderstood. And if a lot of the benefits of being understood is you can see where I'm coming from. Like if I'm actually talking to somebody and trying to give them the truth of a matter, you want them to understand you because what it is that you have to offer them is going to benefit them. And it's the same thing with God. Everything, if we just give him the chance, if we just allow, just close our mouths sometimes, be able to sit still for just a second and allow him to further reveal himself to us or at least receive the revelation that he's already given us, then we'll be able to understand his heart in the matter and that he did come not just to seek and to save the lost, but also just to enrich our lives, you know, and empower us.
Well, that's where the quote come in that says it's easy in religion to have elements of God. This woman had elements of God. Did you notice when you read that? She was speaking language that she thought that he would want to hear from her. And sometimes we do that even in our prayers. We come to him and, Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth, thou art wonderful and mighty and holy above all. We say things that really is not coming from the heart, and yet we think it's what he wants to hear. And so, but to have a relationship with God that is, he encompasses all of our life is a whole different story. And God began to rock her world at that moment. She threw out the Messiah, you know, because she's trying to grasp who he is and throws out the Messiah. But the problem was, it was the Messiah on her terms, not on his. And what Jesus wants to move his church to is for us to have a revelation of who he truly is in our lives, who he truly is. Not what we think he is, but who he really is.
It's funny you said that about prayer sometimes, Pastor. I know yesterday morning I'm in here praying and before service, and you catch yourself in a rhythm sometimes. You know what I mean? It's not bad.
Well,
and I literally shook myself, and I said, man, hold on a minute. Let me just talk to God. Like, God, I need you here. God, I praise him. I always start my prayers with praise, and that can even get kind of redundant if I'm not careful. But in asking and stuff, it's like, you know, I finally just stop. Start talking just like we're talking right now. And there's actually a TikTok that's going around. It's got a guy, how non-believers feel like Christians praying, oh, And then he just says, God, I need your help. Got this girl over here messing. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. So you can talk to God just as we're having a conversation now. Know that where you're at. And the conclusion, Pastor, was good. It was really good. The lady came to the well with a need. So she thought. Well, she did have a need. She needed some water. But the bucket that she brought, she left. She left what she had and went on her way. Do we do that? Do we always do that?
I think that's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. Yep.
And even the conversation since yesterday is how do I really leave it there?
Yeah.
How do I leave? And the alliteration, sometimes it just flows, but how do I leave my past there? How do I leave the pain there? How do I leave my problems there? And even how do I leave my perspective of God? You know, sometimes that is skewed because we've seen others who we believe to be close followers that failed. And so that messes up our perception of God and our perspective of God. And that's why he's saying, I want to give you a fresh perspective. The woman heard everything from everybody else, but God was in front of her in the flesh. And so he wanted to reveal something to her in that moment. And he did. And her life was changed.
In youth, we started a series, Winning the War in Your Mind. And one thing that the first thing in winning that war is removing the lie and replacing it with truth. So are we not leaving the lie? We come to God. You've been a youth pastor. You know how many sermons you preach on identity, because students struggle with who they are, period, across the board. But that is a lie the enemy tries to tell us, that we are something else. So leaving that lie at that well, yeah, is another one you can add to that. What is God telling you are that you're not?
Yeah.
That's big.
Pretty heavy. I just think about that song, the old song, Take Your Burdens to the Lord and Leave It There. But, you know, again, you come expecting one thing and leaving with another. That's kind of like God in a lot of senses, because I don't truly think that we always know what we need. I think a lot of the things, well, I'm very convinced that a lot of our desires, our true desires, which God is the true desire, we don't realize how much, because we're not, as a whole and people, we're not content a lot of times. We always want more until we realize who God is. And then we realize we have everything that we need and everything we ever wanted.
Well, with her story, I know we're harping on her, but we can relate to her. It's a woman who was suffering through life, and really she was searching for significance. That day she just went for water. That's all that she went for. But she was looking for something more. We can see that in her actions. And I don't know what happened in her past. I don't know about all that. But the fact that Jesus did know what was going on, again, shows the love that he has for her. But we find ourselves in those places, and he, in his grace, knows more. That's why he's big, and that's why he's bigger. And that is the takeaway that I wanted people to see yesterday. You can leave all of those things at the well, because the well is where Jesus was. And so some have even suggested that if he sat on the well, that he closed up the spring of sinfulness that had been flowing out and changed it and gave her the living water to which she would never thirst again. He filled the very longings of her soul. She would, from that day on, she would still need water, but she would not need another Savior, because Jesus would take care of all of that, because he's bigger than all of it. And I guess that's maybe what I want to leave with you today, is your problems, leave them with the Lord. Give them to him. Your past, no matter how colorful it might be, even your perspective of God that might be warped because of your problems, your past, your pain, leave it with him. He's bigger than all of it. And in my personal time with the Lord, that's what I have seen. You know, I do not recall a single time that there was one demon that Jesus went up against that Jesus did not defeat. Every single demon that he came up against fled. Every single sickness that Jesus approached, he was able to heal. Well, you know, I can heal the flu, or I can heal this headache. But cancer, that's going to be a different battle right there. No. Every sickness Jesus has power over. And then as I was reading the Gospels, I don't see that Jesus was ever scared of anything. I don't know what you guys are scared of, if we were real with each other. But for him, even in the face of death, he didn't want to go through it, but he wasn't scared of it. And so Jesus is the one that we go to because he's bigger. And that's what I want people to see. It's just how big God is and what he's able to do in our life.
It's funny you said that. When he was standing before Pilate and Pilate asked him and said, you know, do you know what I could actually do? And he said, beaten and everything, you would have no power over me except if it wasn't for God actually giving it to you. He had the right perspective. In the face of danger, in the face of death, he still had the right perspective. That he realized that there was a God that transcended all of this and that was bigger than our problems.
It's good stuff, guys. Good stuff. So where are you today? Those who are watching, have you experienced Jesus at the well? Have you come to Jesus? Have you laid down the things that you think you come for and really accepted Jesus? Maybe you've done that and there's people in your life that you need to go spread that word to. And just what if you didn't see the whole, if you have not heard this whole sermon and you're watching this, be sure to go back on our YouTube and Facebook page and check it out. It's dated for yesterday's date, and make sure you hear the whole sermon. But I want to, Pastor, you want to pray us out? Why don't you pray us out?
Yeah, I will. And really today you can even feel the struggle. There's just a lot that's going on in a lot of people's lives. And with that, please hear this. Jesus is bigger than whatever it is that you're facing. He is bigger than all of it. And the fact that you have a God who loves you intimately is so powerful within our lives. It really does. It really has the potential of changing us completely because we're able to look at this and say, you know what? We're faced with this situation, this uncertainty, this problem, and we know that Jesus is bigger than all of it. And he wants it. Wow, right there. No matter what you're facing, Jesus is bigger. Why don't you just tell yourself that right now, to yourself? Jesus is bigger than whatever it is. Jesus is bigger than the anxiety. Jesus is bigger than the uncertainty. Jesus is bigger than your financial problem. He's bigger than whatever it is that you're going through. Jesus is bigger than. Father, we thank you today. And I pray that as people are listening, that they would know the love that you really have for them. It is a deep love. It is a lasting love. And Father, because you're bigger, it doesn't mean that you're ever going to run out or it's going to expire or anything's going to happen. Your love for us stands. It is binding. It will never end because you will not end. And we can trust you. When those around us have let us down and when problems have come our way, we know that we can trust you because you will always be there. And Father, I pray that those who are listening today have situations and circumstances that they're facing that are bigger than them. But those problems are not bigger than you. And we just pray that you would reveal yourself to them as the Messiah, as God. And a word like this would take root inside of our life and really change the way that we act, change the way that we respond to circumstances and the way that we live our life, knowing that you want a relationship with us and it changes everything. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. But Father, you never would have died if you hadn't come in the first place. And Father, thank you for humbling yourself and coming as a created being so that you could save us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning, guys. We look forward to Wednesday night, 7 o'clock online, Thursday night, 7 o'clock in-house. You have a blessed week.
God bless you.